This is an ABC podcast.
This is ABC Australia Wide on ABC Radio.
Devastation. You know, to be told 5 days before Christmas that you likely no longer have a job, obviously very distressing.
Hundreds of transport workers facing an uncertain future as freight company Redstar goes into liquidation. Aboriginal rangers in southern Queensland put a dent in carp numbers without using herpes. And the town that just wouldn't let its pub have no beer.
It just helps to unload, and for mental health purposes, some people look at it and say, look, it's just a pub, but for us it's more than that.
Nandaily once again has a watering hole after residents passed the hat around and bought the local hotel. I'm Michelle Crowther and this is Australia Wide. Well, hundreds of workers are facing redundancy after freight company Redstar Transport went into liquidation yesterday. Claudia Jambor has been covering this story from Dubbo in New South Wales, and I started by asking her how many workers are affected.
This isn't a small operation, Michelle. We're talking about 400 workers right across the country. Here in Dubbo, there are about 20 employees working at the depot here. Now, it's interesting to note that not all are based here in Dubbo. We've been told that some of those workers are actually drought-affected farmers who are doing some side work here in Dubbo at Redstar Transport's depot to try and make ends meet as dry conditions continue. So it's come as quite a shock and another blow for farmers that are battling through drought.
Yeah. So how did the workers find out that this was happening? It's something that's sort of unfolded quite quickly, isn't it?
Most definitely. From what we understand, a lot of it was word of mouth. Some workers got a message from Redstar Transport to say, return back to, you know, your closest depot with the full load and go home, without knowing if they've got a job to go back to. So there was a lot of shock just to get that quite blunt message to say, return the trucks to the nearest depot and essentially go home.
And so I guess that would have left some of the drivers stranded away from where they were trying to get to.
We've been told that many of the truckies weren't quite stranded. They were able to find a means to get home. So thankfully we haven't heard of anybody who's been left stranded as yet, thankfully.
Oh, that's good. And how have workers taken the news?
I think the best way to describe it is just shock. It happened so quickly, just a bit shocked. And we caught up with Rod Sipple today. He has worked at the Dubbo Depot for 12 years. And for him, it was more than a job. Here's a little bit about what he had to say about the closure.
I've actually gained a lot of really good friends, some of them still working here, some of them not, not only just as drivers, but within the staff too. And in the last few or 4 or 5 years that the current owners have been here, I've actually met them on many occasions and developed a relationship with them too, which is probably unusual for a company of this size. But I guess when you're here for long enough, those things happen. But yeah, and I feel really sorry for them as well as a lot of the office staff that have been here for a long time as well, because you know, some of them are sort of getting older too, and there'll be jobs there for them, but it's just the uprooting of your life and everything else, and it's become a bit of a lifestyle, I suppose, yeah, as well as a job.
So that was Rod Sipple there. Clearly, it was more than just a job to him. He loved what he did and made some very strong friends throughout his more than a decade's work at Redstar Transport.
And what an incredible trait to be able to be feeling empathy for your bosses and your colleagues at a time like that.
Absolutely. Just goes to show some excellent relations made over that time.
So what has Redstar said? Have they said anything?
I haven't been able to contact them. I've tried their Sydney offices a number of times, and I was told at one point that I'd called the wrong number, and others were just answering the phone, you know, informally, like, oh, hi, X speaking. So I haven't been able to reach anybody, and I've tried a few other connections who might be able to get me in touch, but I've had no luck in getting in touch with Redstar. It was actually PricewaterhouseCoopers, the liquidator, that actually confirmed that the company was indeed being wound up.
And what else have they said about the situation?
The liquidator has said that the process of starting to wind up the company will be completed by the end of the week. Stephen Longley from PwC has said it's a terrible situation, and I quote him saying, you know, let alone on the eve of the holidays. So it's clearly PwC is sympathetic to the workers' needs and will be doing everything it can to ensure that they are comfortable and supported, particularly during the Christmas summer holidays.
So in terms of redundancy packages, what happens from here?
It's a bit of a wait and see game at the moment. PricewaterhouseCoopers have said that entitlements will be paid for by the federal government's worker protection scheme, and the union, the Transport Workers Union, has made very clear that it will be doing everything it can to ensure workers are paid what they are owed.
So that's pretty quick wind up within the next week. And what's the union saying? Is it keeping everyone updated?
Absolutely. Its spokesman said late yesterday and has reinforced today that it will do everything it can to keep members and those affected in the loop. It's been in close contact with its members right across the country and has assured them that there is support there, and have urged anybody to get in touch, anybody affected to get in touch with the union to see how they can be helped.
That was the ABC's Claudia Jambor talking about the liquidation of Red Star. And in related news, another 120 workers have lost their jobs with the collapse of Melbourne warehousing and distribution company Fastline Logistics. The CFMEU says workers were told to not come in today.
You're listening to ABC Australia Wide.
And in news elsewhere around the country, South Gippsland Shire Councils voted unanimously for a 24-hour cat curfew after a survey found 56% of residents were in favour. Neighbouring council Bass Coast is also considering a curfew to curb the impact on native wildlife. A federal circuit court judge has turned down an appeal to permanently stop the deportation of a Sri Lankan family seeking asylum. The Tamil couple and their two Australian-born daughters had settled in the Queensland town of Biloela. And the blood bank has put an urgent call out for platelet donations, which are in drastically short supply at the moment. And you're listening to Australia Wide. Well, with Barnaby Joyce's plans to unleash the herpes virus on carp shelved for at least a year, a pilot project on the Moonee River near Thallon in Queensland has stepped into the breach. The specially designed trap is operated by the Aboriginal Rangers in southern Queensland, and it's prevented the birth of tens of thousands of the pest fish. Belinda Sanders went to find out more.
The banks of the Moonee River near Thallon are dry. It's a good time to attack the menace beneath the water.
We put them in for 10 days, and in some rivers we can get 300 or 400 every time we pull them out in them 10 days. The biggest single catch we've had is almost 900 in one trap.
William Taylor is on the front line of this environmental war. He is the team leader of Aboriginal Rangers who are executing a trial to cull carp numbers in the headwaters of the Murray-Darling.
We have these wings that kind of funnel them into funnel, and there's a big round tank on the end of them that's got a feeding thing that drops water in every 20 minutes and feed in every 20 minutes, and that attracts them.
The trap was first set in 2011 in the hope of holding back the pest until the release of what's been tagged Carpageddon, a herpes virus it's hoped will decimate numbers. But the team here want the trap trial in Queensland's southwest to be introduced across the country permanently. Southern Queensland NRM's Jeff Penton.
One possibility is that even though the virus, if it's approved to be released and safe, that it might be 100% successful, but in other countries it's been used, it hasn't quite been 100%. You know, 95% successful, that means we've still got a fair few carp. So we might still be doing the netting as part of the mop-up type operation.
Done, put your finger.
Jeff Penton says the netting system and feed specifically attractive to carp works.
The carp netting has been quite successful in small areas. So of all of our rivers that have carp in them, we can't get to them all. But in certain small offstream billabongs, we've managed to achieve up to 85% reduction in carp numbers, we believe, from our monitoring. And that gives our natives a really good opportunity to flourish in those small areas. And they are opportunities for better repopulation. The next time we have a flood, those natives can repopulate our rivers.
This one trap and a small team have literally stopped tens of thousands of carp from swimming down the Murray-Darling and locally given native fish and wildlife a fighting chance.
And thank you to Belinda Sanders in Toowoomba for that report.
All around the country, you're on ABC Australia Wide.
I eat corn sometimes and my mum cooks it in the oven.
Well, Charles, how much rain did we have? He said, no, none. I said, you're mad, man.
ABC Australia Wide.
Because I came from Wynyard area where it rains and rains and rains. And when it's not raining, it's raining more.
On ABC Radio.
Well, from Christmas Eve to Boxing Day, you'll be able to make phone calls from public phone boxes, if you can find them, for free. It's a service that Telstra has been offering around the country for the past few years, and it's in partnership with the Salvation Army. Last year, 170,000 calls were made from public phone boxes over those 3 days, and the telco's West Australian area manager, Boyd Brown, told Mark Bennett that it means a lot for people who don't have access to a phone or the internet.
For those of us who are, you know, living in hardship, isolation or doing it tough, what we're going to do is open up our network of payphones. So for WA, that's around about 1,700 payphones. Now, they'll be opened up for free calls from the 24th to the 26th of December. So that covers, obviously, that important Christmas Eve, Christmas Day and Boxing Day period. And obviously, this is a great way for many people to connect with family and friends, you know, particularly those that might be interstate. We know Christmas heightens the feelings of loneliness and isolation. So, you know, in a small way, we hope this, you know, brings some families together and puts people in touch at this important time of year.
And that's Boyd Brown speaking with Mark Bennett in Albany.
You're listening to ABC Australia Wide.
Well, one of the smallest towns in regional Victoria is doing something quite big. After the only pub shut down, locals living in the town of Nandaily took the drastic step of buying it in a bid to stop the town from drying up. Alex Treloa went to Nandaily yesterday to meet up with the community who were working to renovate the pub in time for Christmas celebrations tonight.
The hotel closed down just around Christmas time last year. It couldn't get a buyer and the owner wasn't up to running it anymore. So it was shut for a number of months and the town just decided they had to do something about it. And we had meeting after meeting and eventually came up with a model that we thought could work and everyone jumped on board.
Fantastic. So how many people own the Nandaily pub now?
It was over 45 last count, but I'd say it's way more now. It just keeps growing and growing. It's really exciting.
When the pub did shut down, did you notice a change in the community at all?
There was a real perceptible change, actually. It just was flat, and you realised the people who you ran into here, because then you never saw them anymore, you know? You said, oh, I haven't seen such and such for a while, and you realised it's because the hotel was your meeting place. When you can get together and when you can talk about things, you know, the good times and the bad times, it just helps to unload, and for mental health purposes, some people look at it and say, look, it's just a pub, but for us it's more than that.
There's renovations, there's a lot of hands doing a lot of stuff. It sort of feels like I'm on one of those reality renovation shows.
It is like that, and I've been taking photos along the way, and just the small things, you know, we changed the colour on the door frames and the windowsills, and it really made the old bricks pop and look like new. So it's those things that make it feel like new and a place that we can all come back to and enjoy.
Yeah, I'm Riley and I'm 16. Oh, yeah, used to come here a fair bit with mum and dad and run around, have a bit of fun.
How's the town been since it closed?
Oh, kind of quiet. Not many members coming around to the pub and stuff because it's shut and, yeah, not much going on. Bit of a ghost town.
Have you been part of the renovations?
Yeah, I painted a couple of doors and helped clean up and a bit here, a bit there, really.
Yeah.
I just think it'll bring back people back together and somewhere to come and have a chat and just, yeah, get to see improvements that are made and show that small town can actually make a bit of progress and communities do come together.
They certainly do. And thanks to Alex Treloa for that report. And if you'd like to see pictures of the newly renovated Nandaily pub, read about other community-owned pubs around the country, you can go to the ABC News website.
All around the country, you're on ABC Australia Wide.
Like, say the swimming carnival, I can tell them about how, like, the races are. And as well, there's a big carnival, like, where we show our house colours.
You've never done that before?
No, not really, no.
Well, for some boarding school students in Charters Towers, Christmas Day can be a far cry from their school term existence. The ABC's Tom Edwards caught up with them as they headed back home, and he started by talking with Brock Johnson.
Christmas every year is never dull, never a dull moment with the family that comes over, especially uncles and stuff that come around that you haven't seen in ages. And every time they see you, they always want to talk about how your sport's going, and then they want to ask if you can do a challenge with them to see who's stronger every time. And
oh, really? I see. Yeah, okay. There's a bit of competitiveness going on amongst the blokes, is there?
Yeah, there is. There's always. But yeah, just...
So who wins?
Usually me and my cousins. We always put it over them every time, and if they're listening to this, then they know it's true.
What kinds of contests are we talking about?
Have you heard of the run straight challenge?
I have not.
Oh, you get one of the blokes to run straight at the other bloke and see which one can tackle and which one can run over the other bloke. Or you have arm wrestles or just normal wrestles or just who can pick the other bloke up and, yeah.
Sounds pretty rough. My family, we normally enjoy a game of Monopoly over Christmas.
No.
Does anyone get injured?
No. We're all careful with each other, but if you do get injured, then everybody knows that you're weak, so then no one really owns up to being injured half the time. Every time you go back, it's always a good time to have like that.
I'm Kane Whiting, and I'm from Jabiru. Most of the time, we just go out to our station. Normally around Christmas time, it's really wet, and the dirt road is like clay, so it's once if you get stuck, you get stuck. You wait till it dries up. But normally, when it's not raining, because we're in a remote, you know, we usually drive around quad bikes, motorbikes, you know. Just usually have a bit of fun. Good childhood, yeah.
Yeah, and quite wet out there at that time of year, is it? You hope?
Yeah, I reckon it's the best time of year because it's when the river starts to flow. Normally it's dried up and the cattle don't really have anything to drink, but yeah, it's really good to see when it is flowing, yeah.
We've been having some hot weather recently in North Queensland, but what kinds of temperatures might you see at your place over Christmas?
Oh, it gets pretty hot there, yeah. The other day it was about 50, close to 50, and when it's dry, it's dry.
How do you stay cool in that weather?
We sleep.
Just sleep through it?
Yeah, try to. Nah, we've got to keep working. We've got a property to manage, so yeah, it's a bit of work.
So no lounging around in the aircon?
No, grandparents are pretty strict. We've got to do what they say, yeah. We've got to get work done, yeah.
I'm Ray Evans. I'm from Dilmagee, it's from the Gulf of Carpentaria area. So we live in a remote community and the store's really expensive, so we usually go to our nearest city, which is Mount Isa. We go there like every year to do Christmas shopping. And we have to do it quick though because of wet season and because there's a crossing coming into Dilmagee. And when that's full, then no one can get in or out really.
What's the day itself like? Christmas Day, tell us about that. You all get around the table and have a good feed?
Yeah, and we invite other families over. Like, everyone pretty much comes to my place because, like, other people aren't as fortunate as we are, so that we invite as many people who can't have a good Christmas to come to our place. Yeah, and then after, like, we're done, and, like, we usually have heaps of leftovers, so we go around and, like, give food to, like, the elders and everything who don't have anything or any family, you know?
That's such a great thing to do. Why do you do that?
Because my parents believe that Christmas is just for giving, you know.
My name's Bear Garden. I'm from Torres Strait near PNG. We do a lot of dancing on Christmas and New Year's. And like, we'll go around to all the houses and like dance.
So you're actually doing dance performances around people's houses?
Yeah.
What kind of dancing?
Like cultural dancing.
Well, that's sounding a lot more fun than my Christmas. I'm pretty much just trying to stay awake in front of the Queen's speech on TV. I think I've been missing out here. Tell me about the food. What kinds of things do you eat on Christmas Day?
Well, there's a lot of seafood. Yeah, Dad and my brothers go out on the boat, catch turtle and dugong, and then come back, and then my auntie just cooks it up, and then we get damper and scones, and then just like, yeah, big casual feed.
And these are traditional foods?
Yeah, they're traditional food. Being down at school for like 2 months and then go back home eating cultural food is pretty good. Like,
what's your favourite dish?
Oh, turtle.
What do you like about that?
It's like really salty, I guess. I don't know. It's really hard to describe.
It is hard to describe. And those were some of the students from All Souls St Gabriel's School in Charters Towers talking there to Tom Edwards, who it sounds like has quite a sedate Christmas by comparison. Bridget Fitzgerald, Run Straight or Monopoly?
Michelle, it's much more likely to be a game of Run Straight, though I have never heard of that before, but my family Christmases are pretty... They're reasonably wild, I think. Yeah. We like to get dressed up in costumes.
Ooh, yeah. What sort of costumes?
Well, it depends on the year. So we've had a superheroes theme before. We've had movie characters. And the other thing we do, which is more or less a bit of a tradition, is buy each other Kris Kringle presents from the op shop.
Oh, good.
You're allowed to use your creativity, a little way to kind of make a little donation and to buy something usually pretty utterly useless for your cousin or auntie or uncle.
I do love that one. And so what's this year's theme?
It's a lot of fun. This year is actually what you've always wanted to wear. I need to be actually in Victoria, which I'll get there tomorrow, and then I'll sort it out. I think I'll just go to the safety of the op shop and find something outrageous.
Great. Nothing like coming prepared. So what else is happening around the place?
Michelle, there are farmers in New South Wales. Just an interesting story, I think, that really frames the severity of the drought, particularly getting into summer. So these farmers in parts of the northwest of the state are lopping hundreds of Kurrajong trees while they still have leaves on them, so before they drop their leaves over summer, and that's in an effort to feed cattle. So Lara Webster and Hayley Craig from the ABC in New South Wales have been talking to one particular farmer, Malcolm Donaldson. He's lopped 600 trees since May, and he reckons he's got about 3 weeks left to cut down a few extra branches to feed the cattle. This is obviously not his plan A. Obviously, rain would have been good, but apart from that, he was going to dig up some silage. When the family dug up the silage, they found that it had actually gone off. So the Kurrajong was the next best option for the cattle. Fortunately, he said it is quite palatable and they rather enjoy it. So that is
good. Well, that's
something.
The upside.
Yeah, exactly. So at least, but a whole lot more work to get up there in your cherry picker and lop those trees down. So I guess we're thinking in particular over the summer period of those farmers who are battling those conditions.
Mm.
And Michelle, I thought we'd end on something that was a bit of good news, and that is the news that a pilot who was involved in a light plane crash has hitchhiked himself to hospital just for a couple of stitches. So this was in on Queensland's Darling Downs. This man who didn't want to be identified was spreading fertiliser at Dalby Agricultural College. He was only about 100 feet from the ground. He managed to kind of roughly land the plane, and then he took himself into hospital. A colleague picked him up on the side of the road, very lucky to escape there.
You have to admire the Dalby crop dusters, don't you? Well done. And Merry Christmas to that pilot. And that's all from the Australia-wide team for 2018. Thank you so much for your company, and what a great job to bring you stories from around regional Australia. If you want to listen back on any programs, please go to the Australia Wide website or the ABC Listen app, and have an absolutely wonderful Christmas and New Year. Sinead Mangan will be back with you on the 7th of January.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.